I'm Charity Nebbe. This piece is the creation of Andy Brick. He is a composer and conductor, but unlike most modern composers, he has no trouble attracting the attention of young listeners. That's because he primarily composes for video games. His work is heard daily as gamers play SimCity, The Far Reaches, Moregnon 2, or scores of other games. He has also recently been bringing this music to live audiences. Andy, you studied composition at the University of Michigan. When faced with having to make a living and doing that through music, what kinds of things did you gravitate toward?
Well, I wanted to write orchestral music, since that's what my training had been, and that's really what my love was at the time. So I guess my first inclination was to go towards film music. That's what I was gravitating towards. However, the day that I was finishing Manus College of Music here in New York City, which is where I went after I finished University of Michigan, I got a call from Sesame Street to audition as an arranger for Sesame Street, which was about the furthest thing that I could possibly have ever thought I would go towards. But it was a job, and it seemed pretty cool to me because I grew up with Sesame Street when I was a little kid, and I knew all the songs. And so I took the audition, and I got the job, and that's really was my first professional foray into the music world. But since orchestral music was my first love, I continue to focus on that, and my career has sort of followed me through that path.
It does seem like composing for television or for movies is the direction that you were headed in. When did games start to come into the picture?
Well, in the late 90s, I won this award from ASCAP for film composing, and part of the award was to go to Hollywood, and I got a big fancy Hollywood orchestra to play my music and met with all of these Hollywood people who were telling me how Hollywood was the place to be for film composing, which is basically true. I didn't really want to go to Hollywood at that time, so I came back to New York and thought to myself, well, if I'm not going to really be a film composer because I'm not going to be in Hollywood, then maybe there's something else I can do. And at that time, a colleague of mine said, would you be interested in writing some music for a game? And I thought he was talking about like writing music for Monopoly or something, you know. And I was like, what, does somebody press a button and while you're moving your little boot in Monopoly, the music plays? And he explained to me what that was all about, what an interactive video game was. And I thought, well, this sounds pretty cool. I'll give that a shot. And I did. That game was called The Far Reaches, and it was created by this man named Rick Dyer, who in the history of games is a very well-known game creator. And the game was fairly successful, and that just sort of escalated and took over.
I'm talking with Andy Brick, who composes computer game music. When somebody says, I want you to write music for this game, where do you start?
Well, I think it's important to understand what the actual difference from a composer's standpoint is in writing music for a game and compared to a film. The media are completely different. A film is a very passive media. You sit in a chair or your couch or wherever you happen to be viewing this film, and you watch it. And whatever happens in the film is going to happen next time. And there's a beginning and a middle and an end, and then the experience is over. And the music sort of tells the story of that process. In a game, you might be sitting in a chair or you might be sitting on your couch, but you usually almost always have something in your hand which is controlling the play, the gameplay. And a lot of times you will be pressing these buttons really hard and get this very physical interaction. And that's the key word, is that it's interactive. The game is interactive. And what you do today with this media, this game, is usually very, very different from what you're going to do tomorrow with this media. And the story will almost always change because it's going to be dependent on how the gameplay evolves. So as a composer, you're confronted with a media that's going to evolve in a way that you have no control over. In a film, you know what's going to happen. You see the film, and it's going to be the same thing tomorrow. In a game, you don't know what's going to happen. You see elements of the game, but you don't know how the player is going to react. And that player's reaction is going to determine what the gameplay is going to be. So as a composer, you have to write with the anticipation of not knowing what the actual scenario that the game player is going to be involved in is going to be.
So when you're writing for a film, the music is telling a specific story. When you're writing mm-hmm. for a game, you're augmenting a story, but you don't know what that story is.
Yeah, basically that's right. It's you're not only augmenting a story, but you're creating part of the interactive environment. I can give you a very specific example.
Sure.
Okay. Let's say that you're in a game and you're in a dark corridor. If you were in a film and you were in a dark corridor, something would happen. Maybe you'd see this door and you'd go through the door. And when you get to the other side of the door, there's a very angelic environment and everything is okay and you feel good. And the next time you watch the film, it's going to be the same exact thing. It's not going to change. In a game, you're walking down a corridor and there might be a door or there might be two doors or there might be three doors. And as a game player, you have the choice of whether you want to go in door one, door two, and door three. And if you choose door one, you might get that very angelic experience. If you choose door two, you might be in a terrible situation where a monster is going to come and eat you. And in door three, you might be in a situation where you get all sorts of rewards or something positive, some kind of reinforcement is going to happen. Well, as a composer, you're setting an environment with the music where perhaps you're going down this dark corridor, so you write some kind of dark corridor music, and then you're faced with a situation of, I don't know what's going to happen next. You say to yourself as a composer, I don't know what's going to happen next. This player is either going to do door one, door two, or door three. So you have to plan. You have to come up with some kind of a game plan in the music that will allow you to transition into the next environment, even though you don't know what that environment's going to be.
How do you do that?
The way that I handle it is I make these very involved musical maps where I'll be in an environment and I'll be writing and I'll come to a musical cadence point, a transitional point, and I'll write in a way that I leave that cadence point open enough to allow me to smoothly create a transition into three other types of musical environments. So I guess it's a lot about how you make transitions and how you set yourself up. You have to think ahead a lot.
It sounds like there's a whole new kind of challenge with this kind of writing. Is that what attracts you to it?
That is definitely something that attracts me to it. And I've never seen it in any other media before, where the music has to almost adapt to the gameplay so that the musical experience that the person has changes every time they play it. And you, as a composer, have to be aware of that and make that happen. And it's a very big challenge, and it's really a very fun and inspiring way to write.
I'm talking with Andy Brick, who composes music for computer games, including SimCity. Since 2003, he's been conducting live orchestral performances of game music. And these concerts are packed with people in their teens and 20s. They're being heralded as the thing that might excite the next generation of classical music lovers. When you hear people say things like that, what do you think?
I think they're right. I think they're definitely right. And I don't think it's just games. I think that films can do it as well. Anything, you know, games, when games really started to get popular, maybe 8 years ago, a 16-year-old kid who was playing games at that time is now 24 or 25. So they're at the beginning of whatever their professional life is, and they're probably on their own making a life for themselves. And there's going to be certain things that they choose to do as entertainment. And if in some way a score that I did or one of my colleagues did in that game that they were playing 8 years ago inspires them to go to a concert hall, you know, that's amazing.
Andy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Composer Andy Brick. You can hear his work on any number of video games, including SimCity. This is Stateside.